Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
If we can go to Isaiah 50, Isaiah 50, you've got to hear what the Word of God has to say about this. In Isaiah 50, let's start out at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and they die for thirst. Down to verse 5, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away. Listen to verse 6, Jesus speaking. I gave my back to the smiters, to those who do the smiting, the whippers. I gave my back to them. And I gave my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. When they spit all over his face and the spittum was dripping down, he didn't hide his face, he didn't turn it. He looked him right in the eye and he took it. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall not I be comforted. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed, for he is near that justifieth me. He is near that justifieth me. That, to me, is one of the most powerful scriptures there is. Psalm 69, and we'll just about wrap up what Jesus had to say. Psalm 69, and I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit. I'm going to start at verse 6. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ calling out to the Father, let not them that wait on thee, Father, let not them be ashamed because of me? Jesus says, don't let them be ashamed because of me. or that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. He's praying for strength, because for thy sake I have borne the reproach. I have borne the shame. I have borne the hate, and I have covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my own brethren. Even his own 12 apostles ran away that night. And I am an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept, and I chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb unto them. And they that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. I was the song of the drunkards. You ever watch Jay Leno or any of these other drunken fools at night on TV? And you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll know what Jesus is talking about. He became the song of the drunkards. They sit at the gate and they speak against me. But as for me, my prayer unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let not me sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me. Let me not drown. Let not the water go over me. Neither let the deep water swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me and over me. Let not the pit shut her mouth over me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. And he's pleading with the Father, hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before thee. Reproach has broken my heart. Hear that. Jesus, who doesn't exaggerate and doesn't lie, said, reproach has broken my heart. And I am full of heaviness, and I looked. Think about this. Think about it. Jesus Christ said, I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. I looked for comforters, but I found none. He hung on the cross, and he said, I looked for comforters. I looked for someone, anyone to take pity. And Jesus said there was none. If we were there today, you were there, if I was there, would it be any different today? I looked, and there was none. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. He cries out to the Father, and he said, Lord, let their table become a snare before them. That which should have been their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. And iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come in to my righteousness. Listen to Jesus. Oh, I pray God never says this about you or me. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and let them not be written in the book with the righteous. Now you know if Jesus asked it, it's answered. Let their name not be written in the Lamb's book of life. That would scare me to death. That would scare me to death. I believe there is, if I'm not wrong here, I have just a couple more scriptures and then I'm finished. In Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Did they not take counsel together against Jesus? And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. Kiss the Son is a saying that in that day you would have recognized as love the Son, as be the best possible friend you can be. Be a love slave, a servant. For when his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that have put their trust in him. There I have read you some things that Jesus had to say about himself. About the Word of God, speaking of Jesus, speaking of the night of his trial, speaking of his crucifixion. I've not read them all, but I've read you some of them that you may get an idea. He was crushed for our iniquities. Make no mistake about it. This pleased the Father to do so. You read that with me. This pleased the Father to do so. And now I want to tell you what happened that night. That night at a place called Calvary. I want to tell you what happened on the darkest hour this earth has ever known. The darkest hours this earth has ever seen. I want to tell you of the only time in this earth's history when the angels in heaven wept. The only time in history when the Father turned away from His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But very few people understand or know what really happened. To begin with, though, I want to tell you everything. I used to be a police officer many, many years ago. And I want to tell you that everything that took place this night, everything that took place in this trial was illegal. This was the most illegal trial ever carried out in the land. Everything they did was illegal. In accordance to their laws, their rules, everything was illegal. To begin with, if you would, I'd like to take you on a journey. I'd like you to go with me back to a very beautiful time, approximately 2,000 years ago, back to a very beautiful land. The land is nice rolling hills and trees and orchards. And the people who live on this land, they are odd at best. They are a different kind of people. They're different than everybody. They live different than everybody. Their customs are different than everybody. Even their God is different than everybody. Everybody else has got a whole bunch of gods. But these people only have one God. And nobody can really understand these people. These people, they are the Israelites, the Jews, the Jewish people. They are the people who live here. But the country, Jerusalem, Israel, although they live there, it's not governed by them. It's governed by the Jews, by the Romans. I'm sorry, by the Romans. For the Romans are the military might. They are the ones who rule the land. They are the ones who enforce the laws. They are the ones who say what's right and what's wrong. Now tonight, today, I'd like you to go with me back to Jerusalem. As I said, everything about this trial is illegal. The very first thing. As here in the United States, we would publish in the paper that a trial is being held. So-and-so has been arrested for drunken driving. And a trial is going to be held on the 17th. Well, of course, they didn't have the local newspaper and the local television and the local radio. So what they had were called town criers. Now, to begin with, it was against the Jewish law. It was against their law to have a trial at night. This trial was held at night. Violation number one. Violation number two, in order for everybody to be heard in the defense to have their witnesses there, the town criers were supposed to go out and find out if anybody knew anything about this. They would give the information to the town criers and they would send them out. And they would go to the street corners and it would sound something like this. They would go to the street corners and they would yell out and they would say, "Does anyone know anything about this man named Jesus?" Anybody know anything about Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth was on trial at such and such a place. And then they would go to the next corner and do the same thing, kind of like the paper boy screaming, extra, extra. And then anybody that knew anything about this was supposed to report to the place where this trial was going on, and they were supposed to give their version, what they knew. Well, of course, nobody reported, because they knew what they did, they'd be the next one on trial. The word was out. Well, first they took him, and they bound his hands behind him. And they started to ask him some questions. Well, they weren't really questions, they were accusations. And they started to make these accusations against him. And when Jesus didn't answer, how dare he not answer them? They were in their priestly robes. They were the head of the religious people. They were religiosity at its epitome. They were the most holy, reverend so-and-so, so-and-so. We still have them today. They're all over the place. They're running the biggest churches. I could give you the church's names, but I won't. But they were very upset that Jesus would not answer them. And they called their little flunkies to come out and to teach Jesus a few lessons. So they came out and they started slapping Jesus. They started slapping him across the face and across the ears and across the head. And that hurts. No matter what they did, Jesus said nothing, because he knew the worst was yet to come. Now, there's a lot of confusion in this courthouse, this building where they got him. A lot of people saying this, a lot of people saying that, a lot of people accusing him of everything under the sun. But nothing can be proved, because, of course, he never did any of these things. And this group of judges that they got there, they're going to be the jury, judge, and executioners tonight. And they are all the religious leaders of the day. And what they're really upset about is Jesus had claimed not only to be the Son of God, he claimed to be God. Well, if he was God, if he was the Son of God, then they wouldn't need the religious rulers. Well, they were threatened. They had to get rid of him. Well, they couldn't even get the liars that they hired to get their story straight. They hired some stupid liars. Finally, they went out and they got a few liars, three of them at least, that could get their story straight. And these people did agree that Jesus had agreed to tear down the temple. Of course, he never did that, but they agreed that he had said that. I don't want to draw attention tonight to the witnesses. I don't even want to draw attention to the religious rulers who are sitting here. But rather tonight, I want to draw attention to a criminal, to the one who is accused of doing all these things. For he is accused of blasphemy because he claims to be the promised Messiah, he who was written about, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the prophet, he who was to come. He claims to be the Christ. His name is Jesus. He is supposed to be judged tonight by the Torah, the Old Testament, but as I say, that won't take place because none of that will be fulfilled. He claims to be the Messiah that God has sent. Well, the religious leaders have decided this is not the God that they want to accept. They want a military, powerful, rich God. Not some God walking around talking about peace and love and healing. They want to take their country back over. They want to put all the Romans to death. Jesus is telling them the exact opposite. They don't want to hear it. So they send out these people to lie about them. Now, please try and remember the scriptures that we read. Because I ask you to see something tonight. I want to share something with you, and I'd like you to use your imagination. I don't want to hypnotize you. I don't believe in that. But I would like you to use your imagination. I would like you to see this because it's real. It really happened. And I'd like you to be able to see it, that you will get some idea. We will return to the trial. People are angry, they're yelling, they're accusing, talking about Jesus and this supposed crime that he has dared to call himself the Messiah. Jesus will not defend himself tonight. He will not say a word because of what is written. For he has earlier answered the question in Matthew 11:4. Because in Matthew 11:4, he said, the blind have received their sight, the lame now walk, those who have leprosy have been cured, the dead have been raised, the deaf hear, the good news has been preached unto the poor, and blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me.
And now some previews from Pastor Bernier's next program.
And the blood is just pouring out. You got all this blood. Now mix in with all this other blood. And they pull it out in little gobs all over. And the blood is pouring out. And Jesus, he says not a word. He remains silent. For he knows the worst is yet to come. Now Jesus is taken back. He's taken back to Pilate. This is the beginning of the darkest hour that the earth will ever know. The earth, this planet that we live on, will never see a darker time.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to The Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.